This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, a special program looking back on this past year, especially the election. We're going to be pulling in a number of a team from here at the Family Research Council that were involved in various aspects. We're going to be talking with David Christensen, Vice President of Government Affairs, about FRC's role in the crafting of the Republican Party platform, the FRC Action. And J.P. Duffy, Vice President of Communications, is going to talk about the key role that played in the election turnout. Also, J.C. Church and Randy Wilson, part of our church ministry staff working with pastors across the nation, are going to talk about why Christians, evangelicals, white evangelicals, turned out in such large numbers in this election for Donald Trump. We're going to talk about the role pastors played in that. And then we're going to be talking to our team that was on the ground in one of the swing states, North Carolina. We're going to be talking with Brent Kylan, who is with FRC Action, and Jana Bowman. We're going to be talking about what they did in the state of North Carolina. All that and more coming up here on this edition of Washington Watch. To find out more about the Family Research Council and the Washington Watch program, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right, joining me now in studio is the Vice President of Government Affairs, David Christensen, and the Vice President of Communications, J.P. Duffy. Gentlemen, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be here.
Well, I'm going to start with, it's been a really, really busy year, but I have to say one of the more productive years I've seen in almost 14 years I've been here. The Republican Party platform, David, you and your team were in Cleveland, Ohio to help craft what many have said is one of the most conservative platforms in the party's history.
Well, I think we were led by a good leader. You were a delegate there from Louisiana. The RNC put together a platform that I think was conservative. It was similar to what Romney had in 2012. You had worked on that as well. But really, there were some areas to fill in. And so I think working with a number of other delegates, you worked well with them on marriage and life, on education reform, on issues related to some of the regulations that the Obama administration has come out with in sex discrimination and transgender individuals in the military. Really, we're able to work on amendments to address some of those issues. One of the key issues being judges, having an originalist judge replace Antonin Scalia.
Right.
Fetal tissue, baby body parts, the whole videos, that was added into the platform. There was the issue of the unfortunate attacks in Orlando, the terrorist attacks in Orlando. And some of the delegates were attempting to use that to create special protections for the LGBT community. And you were able to offer an amendment to say all people have human dignity and terrorism attacks on all Americans need to be opposed. So the platform really came out in a way that was just very conservative, something that I know we were proud of.
And well, we actually went into the convention, concerned that we needed to simply protect what had been done. As you said, it was very similar. The starting point was very similar to what we saw in 2012. But what ended up was actually a platform that was even more conservative than what we started with. So we were all quite surprised. I've got a sound clip, a clip here, audio clip from one of the chairmen, the platform committee chairman, John Barrasso, who was talking about the platform as we crafted it, its purpose, and its impact. I want you to hear this clip.
If the candidates don't adhere to them 100%, what are they for?
Well, they basically talk about our vision, our views, our values as a party, and they can be instructive to other people around the country. I mean, we are best when we are united, talking about things that unite us, and they can also be instructive for our nominee, Donald Trump.
Senator, nice to see you. It's going to be an exciting week here in Cleveland. Thank you, sir.
We're going to win in November. Thanks.
That was a clip with Greta Van Susteren and the chairman of the platform committee, John Barrasso. J.P. Duffy, I'm going to ask you, was it instructive to the party's nominee?
I think it was, and it was also instructive to millions of Christian conservative voters who many of them were kind of wondering whether they should stay on the sidelines or should they get involved in this election. And we saw that manifest itself, and particularly on social media. It was interesting to see, even within days of that of the most conservative platform being adopted, we saw the conversation develop, not just in all the media interviews that we did, but we saw that take place on social media, and that prompted us to produce a video comparing both the Republican and the Democratic platforms. And in that video, we used it as an educational tool to explain to people, listen, Republican elected officials, historically, studies have shown that over 80% of the time, these elected officials vote with their party platform. And that video went viral like we had never seen before. Literally millions of people listened, watched that video and shared it with their friends. And it was particularly impactful on voters in states, in swing states, where they realized their vote could literally decide who the next president of the United States is. But even more importantly, they understood that it could determine who will be the next justice to sit on the Supreme Court.
Well, and actually Todd Starnes with Fox News talked about the impact that that platform had on voters. Here's a clip of Todd Starnes.
Kenny, what I find interesting is most Christians were not voting for Donald Trump. They were voting for the platform. And we know that because of a new poll that's going to be coming out tomorrow from the Family Research Council. And in this poll, nearly 6 in 10 Trump voters said they were impacted. They were compelled to vote because of the pro-life and pro-religious liberty party platform.
So, David Christensen, I want to go back to a point that JP mentioned that was very powerful in getting people to pay attention to the platform, and that was about 80% of the times the parties actually followed what was in the party platform. So now we have the most conservative Republican Party platform in history. It drove voters to the polls to support Donald Trump. What policies do we now, will we see coming from this platform when the new Congress comes in January?
It's a good question, and I think one of the issues that you've raised and Donald Trump, of all people, has raised is the issue of religious liberty and particularly the Johnson Amendment. This is a President Lyndon Johnson provision when he was senator to bar churches and nonprofits from engaging and basically speaking on political issues that stifled the free speech rights of a lot of Christians throughout the country, and he's addressed that. And so the platform, there was a delegate that we worked with who was able to add that into the GOP platform. So him talking about the Johnson Amendment, religious liberty, talking about judges, originalist judges, talking about Planned Parenthood, the platform has always been pro-life. It's always talked about abortion.
Right.
Has never mentioned Planned Parenthood before. And that was a little bit contentious, but that was added in. And what we expect in the coming, frankly, in the coming weeks is a big fight to repeal most of Obamacare and to defund Planned Parenthood. And that is in no small part because of the platform and the work that was done there in Cleveland.
So, JP, when you look at that, you look at the exit polling, how 59% of voters voted for Donald Trump and Mike Pence. They're one of the key factors was the party platform's position on life and marriage. It was on life and religious liberty. What happens, if they don't deliver on that?
Well, I think you would if there isn't if they don't follow through and deliver on those promises, I think you would see a depression of that turnout. I mean, evangelicals made up nearly half of all of Donald Trump's turnout, nearly half. So it was the single largest constituency within his base. And when you look at this election, even though he won by a large electoral margin, when you look at particularly the Rust Belt states and some of those, the election was decided by 300,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so an election that's that close, every constituency you could say is important.
Right. Right.
But particularly your largest one, and it's particularly important that it's overlooked and didn't get much discussion, that is the minority vote, particularly Hispanics. Donald Trump captured nearly a third of Hispanic voters. And when you look at the church attendance numbers and where he grabbed those voters, it was primarily among a lot of church-going Hispanics, evangelicals, and many of them were driven by the social issues.
Fascinating.
when you look at that, given Donald Trump's background and the bumps on the road for him, you know, the video that came out and just his personal background. But I'm going to go to those numbers for a moment that you mentioned about evangelicals. I mean, 26% of the voters were white evangelicals that turned out, correct?
That's correct.
And of those, 81% voted for Donald Trump, which was a record high. That's more than voted for George W. Bush, who was, you know, a self-professed born-again Christian. So I'm going to talk more about this coming up with our pastor's team, because something was motivating these evangelicals to turn out to vote. And David Christensen, I have to think that a lot of it has to do with policy. The policies we've seen in the last 8 years that have been hostile to faith, I think that's why so many of these evangelicals responded, and why it's so important that we see some of these policy initiatives take off immediately in the new Congress.
Yeah, I think the left has tried to turn the Obamacare HHS contraceptive mandate into a war on women, and when it became clear the administration was trying to force the Little Sisters of the Poor and Catholic nuns to pay for pills and devices that they have conscience objections to. When you look at the ruling on marriage, we still have a slight majority of Americans who believe in natural marriage. The bathroom bill policy that the administration is foisting on every public school in the country. I think the issues here that the platform addressed and the issues of lawlessness and then, frankly, the Supreme Court without question.
Right.
You know, Whole Woman's Health, Texas, the Supreme Court struck down Texas's reasonable clinic regs bill. And realize that if we can't replace Justice Scalia and put some conservatives on the Supreme Court, we're in trouble for a very long time. And I think conservatives came out, looked at the platform, saw that, and decided that, you know, these are policy issues that we care about. We're tired of the government trying to tell us what to do, take away our rights and our freedoms. And they, I think, voted in accordance with their conscience.
So do you think the members on the Hill got that? I mean, does Congress understand what this election was really about?
I do. I think actually I've been in a few member meetings, and I think that a number of the members feel like they dodged a bullet, really, and that this is, in a sense, a unique opportunity, and that they have a responsibility to govern as conservatives, to promote religious freedom, to repeal Obamacare and the lawlessness
right.
that's gone on. I think there's a lot of relief
yeah.
and a realization that they can't play games.
JP, 30 seconds. Did the media get the message? Did they realize that this was driven in large part by evangelicals?
Well, I think they were stunned. I mean, you saw it on election night as they're looking at the exit polling, and on some of the channels they kept repeating to themselves and to their viewers, how in the world is Donald Trump doing better among evangelicals than Romney and Bush and McCain did among evangelicals? They were scratching their heads, not understanding that their phony narrative that they were pushing, that the public wasn't buying it, that voters were going they were sticking with policy over personality.
And they were too busy, the media was too busy reporting how the evangelical movement was dead.
Right.
And not have it, which they do every 4 years. David Christensen, J.P. Duffy, thanks so much for joining me.
Good to be with you, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, going to be joined by J.C. Church. What a name for a guy who works in our church ministries. He's going to be joining us along with Randy Wilson to talk about what pastors did in this critical election in the Watchman on the Wall Network. Don't go away. We're right back with more Washington Watch after this. Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join my wife, Luana, and me on an exciting adventure. Next July 29th, we'll board Holland America's a luxurious MS Eurodam in Seattle for a 7-day cruise to Alaska. You'll be joined by other believers as we study God's Word and worship Him together in the midst of some of the most breathtaking beauty in all of God's creation. Alaska is truly awe-inspiring. From stunning wildlife such as humpback whales to the purple mountain majesties, America is known and loved for. You'll also hear the latest updates from Washington on the new Congress and administration. Come, fellowship, relax, worship, and explore with us on this memorable vacation experience that is sure to enrich your body, soul, and spirit. For more information or to book your Alaskan adventure, call 844-872-5155 or go to TonyPerkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that number is 844-872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the media telling you what to think? It is difficult to sort out what is true and what is false in the news. That's why Family Research Council President Tony Perkins writes a daily newsletter called The Washington Update. This daily email newsletter analyzes the most important events and topics at the forefront of the battles for religious liberty, the protection of life, and the defense of natural marriage, not only in Washington, but around the country. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from the latest election season news to underreported stories about both setbacks and successes in the fight for religious liberty, the sanctity of life, and marriage. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Visit frc.org/Washington-update today to learn more and subscribe. Again, that's frc.org/Washington-update.
This Christmas, give with a purpose, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. Here at Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Our work ahead includes ensuring that a conservative Supreme Court justice will be selected to repeal and replace Obamacare and do further family values policy in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or frc.org/give to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/give. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along with us today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, yes, it's at T Perkins. All right, we've been talking with some of the FRC team about the election year, kind of looking back on what took place. We looked at the significant role that evangelicals played in this election. You know, Donald Trump captured over 80% of the white evangelical vote. How'd that happen? Well, it didn't just happen. Pastors across the country were engaged in this election. Now, I'm going to talk about, with my next two guests, why they were involved. I've got my thoughts, and we're going to talk about it. But FRC is, while we're known for our legislative and policy work, we have an expansive network of churches and pastors all across the country who work on a daily basis. And we have an entire team devoted to nurturing those relationships with pastors and with churches and culture impact teams. And joining me now is two men who know America's pastors, and they're quite familiar with FRC's Washington Watch outreach to pastors because they are the outreach to pastors. J.C. Church, he's founder and senior pastor of Truth in Victory Ministries in Ohio. He is the state pastor leader for FRC's work in the Buckeye State. He is the founder of Awake 88, which mobilizes Christians to become engaged in civic activities in all 88 Ohio counties. And also we have Randy Wilson, who's FRC's National Field Director for Church Ministries and been with us now for over a decade, making it happen out there all across America. Gentlemen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, Randy, you and I go back a long ways, now coming up on 20 years.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we racked up quite a few miles in Louisiana as we were founding the Family Policy Council there, which is a Louisiana Family Forum. We traveled that state many, many hours and many, many chicken fingers.
Indeed. And I, you know what I remember those times behind the windshield was great laughter, but great testimony shared between each one of us talking about family, talking about everything that you represent and have fought for these number of years since then, faith, family, and freedom. What a good time. And really, what a legacy that's been laid along the way from Louisiana to here now, well over a decade at FRC. Well, and you, along with JC, are getting it done out there across the country now, racking up not so many car miles as you are airplane miles as you fly from state to state. JC, Ohio playing another critical role in this election. And I don't want to ask both of you this because I made reference to it coming back into this segment. Pastors, something happened with pastors in this election that got them more engaged than they have been in recent elections. You know, what was it? JC, I'll start with you.
Well, generally, I think that the main thing was the Supreme Court, the issue of the Supreme Court. Secondly, the comparison of the party platforms, that the undeniable threats to the religious liberty, the faith, family, and freedom, I believe, has reached an awakening and a tipping point within the body of Christ, as the encroachment has come into our world, that we're experiencing a real awakening, I think, Tony, and also, secondly, a harvest of all the seeds and the labor that you've done and FRC's done in trying to bring that awakening to the pastors and building a network. And now I think we're poised to really see, hopefully, a real momentum change with those pastors. But it was an attention getter. This Supreme Court's a big deal. The contrast between the platforms was a big deal, as well as the Johnson Amendment. That coming onto the radar and onto the scene really resonated with a lot of the pastors.
And the exit polling verifies everything you just said. In fact, we were just talking about that earlier with 59% of Trump voters saying the party platform on life and religious liberty was a key factor in who they voted for president. But there's even something, I think, greater at work here, Randy, when we look back at what's happened in the last 8 years. It may have brought pastors to a greater awareness of their responsibility to be engaged.
Well, Tony, our whole mission at Watchmen on the Wall is to champion pastors to transform America. And JC, you're a little familiar with this, that all of life flows from relationship. And I think that is one of the things that has brought pastors around is a time of investment over the years that we're just not knocking on doors, showing up, inviting to pastors' gatherings when an election is about to happen. This goes on, this relationship building goes on between election cycles because we want to build relationships, and it's not a one-way street. It's not us to them. It's providing opportunity and time to have conversations. Hear the pastor and what they're dealing with in their communities and, and congregations, listening to their hearts, and then working together. Again, not from our way pushing towards them, but working together, and not from D.C., but in their communities, asking, how can we work together to change the dynamic in their community, to raise the tide, so to speak, in that community, all centered around righteousness, and bringing the history of America, which is the freedom of religion, which is what has made America great and why everybody wants to come to America. They want to experience this freedom of religion to worship the way they want to worship and to live the way they feel God has called them to live.
And I think what we've seen, and this is one of the reasons I think pastors were more engaged in this cycle than they have been recently, is that they've seen the consequences of this attack on religious liberty, and it's trickled all the way down to the local level where they have seen and they realize that threat, and they know now the time's to change it.
Well, now is the time. And I would, as we've traveled, the pastors, I believe, got engaged. And the unique thing now, Tony, is they want to stay engaged. And that's something different. A lot of the guys, what do we do next? I think they've understood, as we tried to frame it in Ohio during this period, what's at stake. And that kind of was the theme we wrote. What is at stake? And we discussed that at length. Now we want to transition to the thought, what next? Because that got their attention, and let's never get back into this situation again.
Randy Wilson, JC Church, stay right there because we're going to finish this conversation. We're coming up on a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about how pastors can plug into this network. Now some 13,000 pastors across the nation are Watchmen pastors. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a Watchmen pastor? How do you become a Watchmen pastor? We're going to talk about that coming up next here on Washington Watch. You got JC Church from Ohio, Randy Wilson, a foot soldier going all across America, taking the word of the Watchmen. And we're going to be right back after this. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
From the ruling to uphold Obamacare's individual mandate, to the ruling to redefine marriage, to the ruling that allows the government to seize a citizen's home, these are the many important decisions that the United States Supreme Court has made recently. But did you know that each of these three decisions was determined by a one-vote margin? The Supreme Court's decisions affect all of us, and it decides about 70 cases every year. Over the next 8 years, we could get as many as 4 new Supreme Court justices. Furthermore, these justices will have a huge impact on the sanctity of human life, religious liberty, and the size and scope of government, and even parental rights. Join Family Research Council Action as we work to ensure the confirmation of Supreme Court justices who will uphold the Constitution and simply apply the law as the founders intended. Become a member today at frcaction.org. That's frcaction.org.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. In fact, you can find out more about what we're talking about, our church ministries, Watchman program for pastors. Go to TonyPerkins.com. We're taking a look back at this past fall's election. Just a few weeks removed from it, but it was a seismic election in terms of its effect. And, of course, we're rolling into the new year, and we're going to see a lot of the policies that were promises in the campaign actually take effect and take shape, and we're going to be right there working on them. But joining me in studio, Randy Wilson. He is the National Field Director for our church ministries here at the Family Research Council, and J.C. Church, one of our ambassadors and one of our state leaders for our pastors network in the state of Ohio, but he works around the country for us. Randy, I want to come back to you and just for definitional purposes, what is a watchman pastor? We talk a lot about watchman pastors, watchman network. What is that?
Watchman pastor centers around three things. First, we're asking pastors if they would pray, make their churches a house of prayer once again, pray for the nation, engage their intercessors in their church, and then push that out in a community, pray together. But then to preach on the issues of the day from a biblical perspective. And here at the Watchman on the Wall, we provide for them many resources to actually do that, where they can pull down full-text sermons, et cetera, bulletin inserts, outlines on the issues of the day. And these are not opinion pieces. These are scripturally based, research-based, all footnoted very well. So pray, preach on the issues, and then partner together. And I think this is extremely important, especially in today, to partner with other pastors in their community. And what we are doing today, more than ever before, is we're pushing down into communities and having pastors look at what God wants them to do in that, why did he call them to that community? And then reach out and meet with another pastor or two or three pastors. Begin to gather, pray for each other, encourage one another, and then ask God for his strategies for that community. And then we see if pastors begin to do that, God will show up because he said he would if we cry out to him. And then for him to start downloading strategies for that community, see communities begin to be transformed for righteousness and his glory, and watch what that happens to the community in doing that. So to pray, preach, and partner is the three dynamics for a watchman pastor.
Well, JC, tell us a little bit how actually you did that in implementation of your Awake 88 and how that affected the outcome of the election in Ohio.
Well, the short of it is, you know, Tony, we look at Ohio, and I sat down a few years ago and began to look at the data, and there's 17,000 churches just in Ohio. And of the 88 counties, my thought was, is there a Bonhoeffer, a guy who will really stand up in each of those counties? So we began to travel and get word out and try to find the guys who understood not only do we have to preach Jesus, but we got to defend the right to continue to do so. Mm-hmm. That we're called right. to engage the culture in every dynamic. So we began building that network and saying, guys, you know, we must evangelize, we must engage, we must participate in the moral issues of the day. Morality matters. And from that, we've slowly built a network of guys who then, as the issues have come up, they can respond. We can educate people. We can do voter registration drives. We can empower our people. We can get voter guides out. We can get engaged, helping them then to put into place what we have here at FRC, our cultural impact teams. And helping the pastors, and those of you who are listening, you know, as pastors and who go to church, we have worship teams and usher teams and security teams and nursery teams. At the table of your planning, you need a cultural impact team. We need a paradigm shift. Our churches grow through participation and ownership, and we can really be the salt and light to the world and get the salt out of the box. If the church is like the box and we're the salt, it's no good just sitting in there.
Right.
We get it outside, we preserve, and we impact. And that's exactly what we've been able to do so that then we can respond to the issues and make a significant difference. I believe in Ohio in particular that the churches, the evangelicals, turned out in record numbers. We've said it this way. It's that we have experienced the greatest move of God politically in Ohio. Not the greatest move of God, but the greatest move of God politically.
Yeah, there's no question.
No question about it.
And we saw in North Carolina. In fact, we'll be talking in the next segment with some folks on the ground that were on the ground in North Carolina. Of course, Randy, you were there as well. But before we wrap this up, all right, election, evangelicals, critical in Donald Trump's victory. A lot of it based on his pledge to defend religious liberty, appoint pro-life justices. You've talked about those issues. Where does this movement go now? Where do these churches, culture impact team, Christian voters, how do they fit in going forward?
I think unity right now is a big thing. But number one, we've got to pray, number one, pray for Donald Trump, that God will continue to surround him with righteous men and women so we don't get off track. Number two is, I think, community-driven. Pastors, we must reach out and build relationship with other pastors and other churches, because in the implementation of a culture impact team, a church can start one, but if they don't help another church raise up a culture impact team, that one will die in about 6 months. But what a culture impact team can do in a community is phenomenal, because you can reach into the gates of the city, you can begin to cast vision, raise up righteous men and women to serve at the gates of the city, which is what we need more than ever before, to shore up and hold the ground that I believe God has given us for a time.
Well, I say three things quickly, Tony. We need a revival of prayer. I think we're experiencing that. We need a revival of patriotism. We're experiencing that. And a revival of participation. We must get engaged and stay engaged as we move forward, and the pastors can be those watchmen in their cities.
And there's no better way for Christians and pastors to stay engaged than through the Watchmen Network and through the Culture Impact Teams. And pastor, if you're listening, you can go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over. Randy Wilson, JC Church, great to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, don't go away. We've got more on the other side of this break as we talk about the ground game in North Carolina. We've got some of those that did the grunt work are going to be here next. So don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join my wife, Luana, and me on an exciting adventure. Next July 29th, we'll board Holland America's luxurious MS Uridam in Seattle for a 7-day cruise to Alaska. You'll be joined by other believers as we study God's Word and worship Him together in the midst of some of the most breathtaking beauty in all of God's creation. Alaska is truly awe-inspiring. From stunning wildlife such as humpback whales to the purple mountain majesties, America is known and loved for. You'll also hear the latest updates from Washington on the new Congress and administration. Come fellowship, relax, worship, and explore with us on this memorable vacation experience that is sure to enrich your body, soul, and spirit. For more information or to book your Alaskan adventure, call 844-872-5155 or go to tonyperkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that number is 844-872-5155. 872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
One of the questions I often receive from our listeners is, what can I do right here in my community to make a difference? The answer? A lot. And one of the most effective ways to make a difference right where you live is by organizing and leading a culture impact team in your church. A culture impact team, or CIT, will help keep the members of your church both informed and engaged through a wide variety of tools that we can place in your hands. Go to cultureimpact.org today for more information and order a Culture Impact Toolkit. We can provide you with all the training and materials you need to keep your church informed, inspired, and engaged. It's all free, and we can send it out to you today when you visit cultureimpact.org. Invite your friends at a church to join you in setting up a Culture Impact team. We want to help you answer the question, what can I do to make a difference? So visit cultureimpact.org. Or call us today, toll-free, 800-225-4008.
This Christmas, give with a purpose, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. Here at Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Our work ahead includes ensuring that a conservative Supreme Court justice will be selected to repeal and replace Obamacare and do further family values policy in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or frc.org/give to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/give. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. As I said earlier, as I've said often, if you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, talking about the past election, FRC and our role in our FRC Action, our sister organization, the role we played in the election and how you made a difference, churches all across the nation, culture impact teams, but there was a couple of places in particular that the evidence was overwhelming that it made a difference in the outcome of this election. And one of those areas was in North Carolina. We're going to talk about that in just a moment with the executive director of FRC Action, the sister organization of FRC, kind of our legislative and political arm. Brent Kylan is the executive director, and Jana Bowman, who is the project manager of our project that we did in North Carolina. Brent, Jana, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, I'm going to start, and normally it's ladies first, Brent, but I want to start with you because you actually rolled out a little bit earlier than Jana. You rolled out on the values bus on September the 11th.
11th, yes.
At right after midnight from the Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C., and from there, you hit 21 states?
21 states, yes.
19,000 miles, something like that?
Almost.
Almost 19,000 miles?
Over 18,000.
How many hamburgers?
I'll have to check the stats on that one. Probably more than I should have had.
Well, I tell you, I said it before when I was on the bus, a lot of food coming up when I was on the bus those few days in North Carolina. But let's talk about the purpose of the values bus. What did you all do as you were racking up those miles rolling across America?
Well, like you said, Tony, we hit 21 states. We were on the road for 60 days. And the whole goal was to get out the vote tour, reaching values voters with our message. We were passing out voter guides. We had presidential voter guides. We were distributing state voter guides and also party platform comparison, something you've talked a lot about. And we had people coming to our rally, sharing those materials with them. Also, just talking about the importance of getting out and voting. A lot of us underestimate the importance of a single vote. And the numbers we were sharing is that when you look back at 2012, there were 39 million Christian voters, people who said their faith was important to them, who did not vote at all. 25, 26 million of them were registered and didn't vote. So our goal was to say you can make a difference. These are the important issues at stake this election. Go to the polls and vote your values.
Now, Jana, you oversaw a project kind of in the final days of the election in North Carolina that put the boots on the ground, if you will, maybe tennis shoes. Generation Joshua, one of the teams that we worked with along with our culture impact teams. Tell our listeners what you were doing in North Carolina.
So our goal was literally to go door to door and make phone calls to a select group of households throughout the state. So with Generation Joshua, we during election weekend, we had over 200 kids in four different locations spread around the state. You know, they would work, you know, close to 8 hours a day knocking on doors. So we averaged, I think, the kids would work, you know, five days, and they reached about 36,000 doors, literally just door to door, just knocking and talking to people, engaging with them. And just like Brent on the bus, we handed out some of the same similar materials, the party platform guide, the state voter guide, and then also our presidential voting guide.
So how many touches did you actually make then between the door knocking and the phone calling in North Carolina?
So we made a total of 263,000 touches across the state in just basically the month leading up to the election.
And, of course, there was the social media, the various videos that went out about the platform. I'm going to ask you, Jan, about that in a moment, about the role the platform played, because we've talked a lot about that on the program thus far. But, Brent, 260-plus thousand contacts. How close was the election in North Carolina?
It was close. You know, it depends on which race you were looking at. Specifically, we had Donald Trump who won by about 5 points. We had the attorney general win by a little bit more than that. But there was a lot of close races. We had a U.S. Senate race that was close, a governor's race, attorney general's race, all came within very, very close margins in the state.
So you'd suggest that these touches, these last-minute push could have made the difference in this, even the presidential election?
I think it absolutely could have. I think it absolutely could have, yeah. We had a number of large national media outlets that were saying North Carolina isn't just a battleground state. They were using the term it's a super battleground state. And as our bus was there, we visited all 100 counties in North Carolina, which was great to be able to get to know the people there. I told them I felt like I should have been able to vote there, eligible to vote there by the time I got done.
Now, you're going to be getting married soon, right?
I am, yes.
Now, for your honeymoon, are you going on a bus trip? Or,
you know, I was thinking about that a couple months ago. I've ruled that out since then.
Oh, you have? Okay. So. I guess so, after having much time on a bus. Jana, let me talk about, as you were making these contacts person to person, as we were knocking on doors, making the phone calls, you mentioned the party platform. That was one of the resources that you used. How effective was that? And I've looked statistically. We've talked about that earlier. I had J.P. Duffy and David Christensen on earlier. But from being on the ground there, anecdotally, what did you see with that?
Well, it's interesting. So as we selected our audience, we didn't select it based on party. We selected based on those who typically likely not to vote and were conservative in life and marriage issues. So that was kind of our target audience. And so on a couple of instances, as we went up and talked to people, one in particular, we were able just to engage in conversation with him about, you know, what he believed and, you know, showed him the party platform guide and, you know, showed him kind of where some of the two different candidates believed on the issues. And as we began engaging in conversation, he, you know, literally said, I have always voted Democrat, but now that you have shown me where each of them stand on the issues, there's no way I can do that. And that happened on several instances once we used not the titles of the parties, but we literally just, you know, compared the issues side by side, that they were kind of astonished that they were even voting the other way based on what their belief system was.
Now you, in addition to Generation Joshua, we have a little over 700 culture impact teams sprinkled throughout the state of North Carolina. What role did those culture impact teams play in this election?
Well, it's interesting. We did have quite a few across, and especially in our four regions, help jump in, and they help prepare our packets that we handed out door to door, as well as they started making phone calls and handing out literature also. But the interesting thing, which is a good problem to have, it was not good for us, but it was a good problem to have, is because we have raised up such amazing culture impact teams across the state, most of our teams are already so engaged and committed in other races and other campaigns that they were like, we don't have time to help you. I'm so sorry, because that's what we had trained them to do. So we did get some help. But on the positive note, they were already so engaged in other you know, efforts throughout the state that we didn't get as much many help from them as, you know, we probably could have.
Because they were already doing it.
So we trained them well.
Yeah. And folks, by the way, you can find out. We were talking earlier with J.C. Church and Randy Wilson about the Culture Impact Teams as a part of our church ministries. To find out more about how you can get one of those Culture Impact Teams set up in your church, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Contact us. Be glad to help you get a Culture Impact Team set up in your church, because they make a vast difference, because they deal with everything from the local community all the way to national, to the presidential and to federal issues. And don't think that just because the election's over that we don't need them. These are, in fact, Jana, the Culture Impact Teams, when it comes to elections, that's just a very, very, very small part of what Culture Impact Teams do.
Oh, by far. I mean, we kind of raise them up for that moment, but they're there to create awareness. And just even much like as we tag team with our church ministries, educate the pastor on how to stand for your religious freedom. And so a lot of what our culture impact teams are just kind of educating the church members on what we can do just as citizens in our jobs, in our workplace, in our community to stand, and then how we become a voice and use it effectively, you know, in our communities. And then essentially then, you know, we encourage them to run for office because that can make a difference. But it's being that pillar and that light and standing in your community in all circumstances. And that's to be prepared in season and out of season. So that's not just during elections.
And of course, the Culture Impact Team resources, the manual, all of that is available through the Family Research Council. Makes it real easy. I mean, it's a kind of how-to guide to be involved in your local community. And then, of course, this is all compliant with C3 laws. I mean, you don't have to worry about your church being, you know, targeted for anything simply because you have a culture impact team, because it's, as I said, the small part of it is the political, and that's simply equipping people to vote, not telling them how to vote, but simply equipping them with the right information to go to the polls and vote. You did early on did a lot of voter registration. What did we see in this cycle in terms you've mentioned about the evangelicals that didn't vote in the last election, Brent? Did we see that increase?
The numbers we have right now are looking very good. A number of states have not officially certified their votes yet, and then obviously there's a couple out there where there's recounts, so we're analyzing the data right now. What it does look like, though, is our previous high in the country of total voter turnout happened in 2008. That was about 131 million. This year, it looks like we're at about 136 million. If that number does indeed hold, that would set the record, be an all-time high in the country. So I think we had an impact. And a lot of people going into this election were predicting a very low turnout, historic lows. And the numbers we're showing it right now, at least, are showing that was not the case.
Yeah, and in addition to the projections that the turnout was going to be low, also the just the whole spin that the media put on this election and the underpolling that Donald Trump did based on the projections that the pollsters put out there, I think again shows that media, you know, their reports really can't be trusted. We got to look for alternative sources, and I guess that goes to the issue of the culture impact teams and what we were challenging Christians to do is not really paying attention to the media. But with the voter guides that were put out is show exactly where the people stand on the issues and vote according to the issues. And these issues are really an issue set that comes to a comparison to biblical truths. So make it real simple for churches to be engaged, be involved through these culture impact teams. Brent, what's the next project you got on the drawing board?
Well, one of the big things that we're doing now is we work a lot to get leaders that are going to stand for faith, family, and freedom in public office. But when they get them there, we try to work with the grassroots to make sure they do that, follow through on their campaign promises. One of the things that I guess really encouraged me when I was on the ground interacting with so many people is the number of people that realize, you know, an election is an event, but democracy is a process. Mm-hmm. And they realize, and we've got to engage not just in the event, but in the process. And what we'll be doing at FRC Action, a big thing we do is our scorecard. Right. That's a federal scorecard. You can go to that at frcaction.org/scorecard. As votes come up that will impact these big issues in the next Congress, the ones for the current Congress are online right now. You can see how your members of Congress are voting. And also, we have the tools on our website. You can go to contact your elected leaders, and you can message them right through our FRC Action website. Stay in touch with them. Let them know how you feel about the issues.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very, very important that now the election is over in January. New elected officials, a new Congress, new administration. Now is not the time to take your hands off the process. It's actually time to engage in a greater way. Jana, what's next for you? Are you going to be knocking on any doors anytime soon?
Probably not knocking on doors, but I think we're definitely, it's an opportunity in North Carolina as well as the other states to continue to help raise up pastors. We call them pastors to preach, pray, and partner together and pray together with each other, as well as culture impact teams. Because as you said, this is not a time that we're just beginning, and right. We have a great opportunity, an encouraging atmosphere to do this. And so the work continues in that way for church ministries.
Well, let me just say this. You guys did a great job. Brent, I know you're out there 2 months on the road traveling the country, and Jana assembling in a very short order a great ground game there in North Carolina that I believe made the difference in the outcome of that election. So job well done.
Well, thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, and folks, if you'd like to find out more about how you can be involved, I want to encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Follow the links over. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is that we not lose the gains that we've made. How we've really not won anything yet. We've won the election, yes, but we've not changed the laws. We've not changed the culture that has been so misshaped by the policies of the outgoing administration. So it's critical, absolutely critical, that you be informed, that you be involved in shaping this incoming administration and the policies of the next Congress. Especially the first 6 months, going to be critical, absolutely critical. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, for being a part of Washington Watch. Again, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, I remind you, it's at tperkins. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com.